This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries. Outrageously dependable.
I've been trying Underbrush from Nathan and Sons, and it's not really regular gum. It's remineralizing chewing gum, basically an oral care routine in gum form. You brush in the morning and at night, but after lunch, there's a big gap where most of us do nothing for our teeth. Underbrush is made for that moment. Chew it for 5 to 10 minutes, spit it out, and move on. Or keep chewing it if you like the feel of it. It's made with something called hydroxyapatite. That's the same mineral your enamel is made from, and natural saps like mastic and spruce. So it has a firmer, really satisfying chew. The company is only a few years old, and the team is literally making, packing, and shipping gum every day. So if you want a simple daily upgrade for your teeth, check out Underbrush from Nathan & Sons. Check them out today at nathanandsons.com.
All right. What's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of Southeastern Bowhunter Podcast. This podcast is going to be with Mark Olis from Moultrie. Mark was on here last year. It's been quite a while since he's been on the podcast, and we have a lot of stuff to talk about concerning Moultrie and what's coming up this summer with the new cameras and anything else that they've got. So before we get into that, got to run through the partners real quick. The podcast is brought to you by Sportsman's Empire. That's the network that we have been under now for a few months. Things are working great. I love it. And they have a ton of awesome shows under that network. So if you want to check it out, look up Sportsman's Empire, wherever you get your podcasts, and you'll find a ton of hunting shows that are, that are very similar to mine and also a lot different. So Dan covers everything with all the shows that he runs under that network. Next up, Lone Wolf Custom Gear. So I am using the .75 this season and also the V2 doubles. Absolutely love those stands and sticks. Dude, the quality is top notch. So I plan on running mobile with that. If you guys are looking to get new stands, and not a lot of time left, it's July. I think when this episode drops, it's going to be like mid-July. So look, if you haven't gotten your stands yet, head over to Lone Wolf Custom Gear. Check out what they have. If you are more of the, I want to have a stand that I'm just going to hang and leave, they have a more budget-friendly series called the Patriot Series, and you can check that out. I think that's the Assault 3 and the Alpha 3, maybe, or Alpha 2, something like that. I should know better, but yeah, man, Lone Wolf's got you covered. So if you're anything you need, really, if you're looking for stuff for your hang on or just any tree stand setup, head over to Lone Wolf Custom Gear and check out what they've got to offer. Next up, Osseo Gear. Man, I'm about to be Osseo'd out. I'm gonna tell you that. Got a lot of stuff coming. I think the one thing I'm most excited about this year is the Leafy jacket. I have put that thing on. I actually was cleaning my clothes last night. Just kind of getting them ready for season, so I don't have to do it last minute. But that Leafy jacket is sick. I plan on hunting a lot lower this season, and that Leafy jacket is going to help me stay concealed. And dude, everything that Osseo makes is just honestly better than anything else I've ever used. They got you covered from early season stuff all the way to the heavyweight late season. Man, they got awesome shirts, hats. I'm getting some silent tape for my sticks so I can kind of quiet them down a little bit. And it's, in my opinion, the coolest camo pattern I've ever seen. I mean, if you're watching the video, you can see my bow next to me. It's nothing but Osseo. The entire bow is Osseo'd out. So, Osseo makes the best camo that I have personally ever used. So if you guys are looking to get new Osseo gear, head over to osseogear.com and use the promo code listed below. All of the promo codes for the podcast and for these partners are going to be in the description below. But use code SEBH to save you 15% off site-wide. Next up, Boutique. So the Boutique makes the best arrow wraps in the game. There's not really much else to say for that. Let's see. Next up, G5 Outdoors. So I am running the Mega Meat again. Going to be getting some replacement blades. I've been shooting the BMPs with it. The bow is shooting fantastic. Everything's working great on this thing. I mean, this is probably one of the more confident years I've had with my equipment. And the G5 Mega Meats don't disappoint. They are absolutely devastating. So if you need some new broadheads, go find the Mega Meats. Head over to g5outdoors.com and get you some of those. If you don't like three blades, they've got the T2 mechanicals. And if you're a fixed blade guy, they have you covered with the Montec M3, and the Striker X and Striker V2. G5 literally covers every type of broadhead that you would need. Speaking of bows, next up, Prime Archery. So my Prime Divide is shooting amazingly. I wish I was able to shoot it more. I've been extremely, extremely busy lately. So, you know, life kind of gets in the way of things sometimes, but dude, I absolutely love my Prime bow. The Divide 31 is fantastic. They've got a ton of different options, 8 different models this year, actually, ranging from 31 axle to axle all the way to 37 and 6-inch to 7-inch brace height, in a ton of different colors. So if you're looking for a new bow, you're running kind of late, but head over to your local bow shop, check out the primes that they have, and man, I'm telling you, look, nothing aims like a Prime. Next up, Dialed Archery. So my proof, running the Lone Wolf Custom Gear proof over here. Dude, fantastic. Super simple to set up. I love the adjustable 3-pin that the Mag 3VA has. I didn't think I was going to like it, and I've fallen in love with it. So the sight picture is great. Everything about the proof is fantastic. And if you're not a mover guy, Dialed's got you covered. They have the Strike, which is a fixed pin sight. It looks exactly like the proof, but it just doesn't move. So head over to Dialed Archery now to go check out everything that they have. They have color match options, small batches, all of that stuff. Next up, Moultrie. We're going to talk about this episode, so I'm going to skip that one. The Bow Hunting League. I was supposed to sign up today. I'm actually going to do that after this episode. But Bow Hunting League registrations, I believe, are open. So if you guys want to go sign up, get your team together and go sign up for the league. There's always a ton of giveaways, and it's a nationwide thing. You get to meet a really, really good group of people. I'm actually a state sponsor again. So for those of you in Georgia that are going to end up killing some bucks this year that are in the league, you're going to get a shirt from them, and it's going to have the podcast logo on it. And dude, that is super excited. I'm super excited about it. Honestly, I can't wait to get mine. And along with that, so there's this new competition called Whitetail Champion. I've been talking with some people about it. It's still relatively new, but Whitetail Champion is a state specific competition that you get 3 guys together. It's $150 per person, so $450 total for a team. And what that is so it is a little pricey, but what happens is when you get a bunch of these teams together, all that money that you're spending, say the $450 for or per team, that goes into a pot. And so you go through the season, you're competing against other guys in your state. And the team that wins, it's the same idea as the Bow Hunting League, but the team that wins is going to win 75% of that pot, and then you split it 3 ways. So say, I think Ben sent me some type of like a figure or something. It was like, if you have 100 teams, that's $30,000 in the pot. Okay, so tell everybody about it, get your team together, and join the Whitetail Champion contest. Whitetail Champion Bow Hunting Challenge is what it's actually called. I'm not going to be involved in it because I am a state representative for it, so I'm not allowed to. However, if you guys have any questions, reach out to me. I can give you all the answers, and I really want to see this thing grow. So remember, if you join the Whitetail Champion Bow Hunting Challenge, you're not competing against other people in the country. You're competing against people in your state. So it's a lot more fair. It's a lot more, I guess, area-centered. Dude, it's going to be really cool to see what happens with this thing. So let's see. Next up, Scrape Doctor. Dude, definitely going to go out and freshen up some scrapes. He's got some new products coming out. I know he's got a scent bead thing that I'm going to be trying out. Really excited about that. Victory Archery. I'm running the HLRs again this year. Catalyst Archery. You can see my stabilizer in the video. Running the orange. I don't even know what you would call it. It's basically just the orange model. Dude, it's awesome quality for a really, really good price. And last but not least, Unbound Archery, which are the best bowstrings that I personally have ever used. You can get any color with Nick, and he will, dude, I mean, really, he does a great job. So that is all of the partners. Before we get Mark on here, man, I got to talk to y'all about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I it's a daily struggle, right? I struggle with old habits and stuff that really, honestly, thinking about it makes me sick to my stomach, but for some reason, they're still around. However, knowing that I have my faith in Christ, knowing that I have the relationship with Christ that I do, it gives me a sense of peace, right? And I want that for all of y'all. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, okay? There a lot of people these days want to have an opinion. That's perfectly fine. You're allowed to. But the evidence is kind of there. It's staring everybody in the face. You know, I've been rocked by it. I have been humbled by it. And I can't thank the Lord enough. So if you guys don't know who Jesus Christ is, please give him a shot. You will not be disappointed. He changed my life and he can change yours too. So yeah, man, Christ is King. But that's the intro. Mark's waiting on us. And you know what? Let's learn about what's going on with Moultrie together. Let's get Mark Olish from Moultrie on the podcast. Thank you guys for listening. And dude, let's jump into it.
Welcome to the Southeastern Bow Hunter Podcast. This is the Southeastern Bow Hunter Podcast.
All right, y'all. So you read the title. This episode's dropping the day that we're the day of the launch of the thing that we're talking about, which is great. We got Mr. Mark Olish here from Moultrie. You guys know I've been using Moultrie now for 6 years, off and on. Even when I was using different cameras, I still had a Moultrie in the woods. I still have a Moultrie out there. Still, you remember last year I was telling you about that one? It's like the X something 6000.
Yeah.
Still running. So you guys make a great product. Yeah, man, what's going on, dude? It's been like a year since you've been on. I know we got some stuff to talk about with the new cameras, but yeah, what's the update?
Well, it got a lot as far as the new cameras coming out, you know, around here, this is kind of our Super Bowl time of year, right? Yeah. You know, it's the launch of the new cameras, which is the Edge 4 series. So still building off those, you know, the incredible, you know, positive attributes of the Edge series, and just, again, listening to customer feedback, you know, looking at the technologies available, and again, just focusing that mindset, like, how can we make this camera where it helps hunters in the field? And at the end of the day, you know, that's at Moultrie, that's what we're here for. We want to help you locate, pattern, and harvest that target buck that you're after. That's all we care about.
Well, you guys do a really good job, because I was able to get that spike on the wall last year.
Yeah.
Thanks to Moultrie's. No, I honestly, man, y'all's cameras, I probably said in the last episode too, but the Moultrie's are phenomenal. I mean, I had a picture, like, you know how it is, you know, off season and stuff, you kind of get a little complacent, you get a little lax, you're like, it's only July, I've got time. And this morning I wake up and I always look at my cameras. I post a Bible verse and then I look at my cameras. That's my routine. And I pull up the app, and dude, literally this deer I've never seen before, one of the biggest bucks I've ever had at this property, is standing there daylighted yesterday at 7:21. And he's got one palmated side and then a kind of little bit weak side on the other side, but decided to name him Moose. And he's probably not going to score much, but his frame is there. And I'll send you a picture of him when we get off here. And it's all because of the Moultrie's, man. And it was the 6000, the X6000. So what camera is that I'm using? I can't remember the name of it.
If it is the 6000, that was the original series. So like, that was, you know, Edge brought about the auto connect where it will find the, you know, the best signal in your area just automatically. But before that was the, you know, we had the 6000 and the 7000 series. So X is like the X series, and then it would have either an XA or an XV, and that would tell you what you were buying. A was AT&T, V was Verizon, and that's all it worked on, you know. So
yeah.
So with the Edge series, once it came out with Auto Connect, you know, that's kind of when, you know, we stopped thinking about those X series cameras as much. But I think I said this last year too. I finally just pulled, like, I had like two of them running just to update my inventory. But the dang things were still, and I never ever pulled them off the tree. They ran year round.
Yeah, that's what this one's been like. I mean, it's been hooked up to a solar panel for 4 years now. And I mean, dude, it's same tree for 4 years. I did have, I think like 2 years ago, I did have some issues with it, right? And I figured, okay, it's been out for a long time, right? So that just tends to happen with technology. Yeah. And then something happened and it's been working better than anything else I've been using, which is like, it's crazy, man. So you guys definitely, y'all definitely make an amazing camera. And I still have the Edge 2s. I think I got two Edge 2 Pros out right now. Friday, I'm putting out another Edge 2 that my grandpa's got. And man, we're getting them out there. I mean, these cameras are working overtime. So,
well, and let me tell you, and just to share with your audience too, in case they don't use Moultrie, the cool thing about Moultrie is, you know, as we build new models, so we were building the Edge 4, and every time we build a new camera, it's not like, okay, take a lot of this and just tweak it. It's how can we fundamentally make this camera better? And when I say better, I really mean more user-friendly, longer battery life, more durable, those kind of things. And what our team found through engineering and developing this new camera, they completely reconfigured the power structure in this camera. And in doing that, they realized that they could get tremendous battery life out of this Edge 4 camera. Well, they were able to, you know, create the software, which we call firmware. They were able to create the firmware update that here, I think around August 1st, somewhere in that time frame, maybe a little after that. Don't quote me exactly on the date, but before this hunting season, your Edge 2 cameras and Edge 3 cameras, they will automatically receive that firmware update over the air. Your grandpa, any Moultrie user doesn't have to do a thing. You just don't do a thing. Yeah. It'll happen automatically. And those cameras, those twos and threes, are automatically going to start getting double the battery life that they had. So your camera that you've had out for a couple years or a year just got better and you didn't have to do a thing. So, you know, that's one of the advantages to the Moultrie system that I don't think we talk about enough. But when I say make it user friendly, that's what I mean. Like the end user doesn't even go to the tree, doesn't touch the camera, and all of a sudden that camera is going to get twice the battery life that it got previously.
So all of that's based off of a firmware update. It's not any type of wiring or anything?
In this scenario, yes, it was. Absolutely. It was all in how the camera was turning on and turning off things. So it was all about power consumption, but it was also about, you know, just eliminating those false triggers too. You know, all the windblown images that blow you up in the summertime and stuff like that, you know, anyone that runs cameras in the summer knows about that, especially if they're in that wide open sunlight. You know, so those are some things that even if someone doesn't go out and buy the new 4 series, their twos and threes are going to dramatically improve battery life, triggers, and all that.
Dude, that's so cool, man. I love what you guys do with these cameras. And what's crazy is I had planned on getting, I think, one of the Edge Solars, right? Mm-hmm. But then I thought about it. I'm like, you know, that one I've got out right now with the solar panel, I really don't need to move it. Like, it's because, you know, it's a little old and I'm like, eventually it's probably going to go out. But right. I really do, because I pay attention to a lot of what these cameras do, right? And right. I'm honestly blown away by it. I really am. I mean, the stuff that you guys are coming out with, I don't think I knew the Edge Solar was dropping until it came out. And I was like, wait, what is this? You know, it's the camera with the giant solar panel on it. And I'm like, we didn't talk about that, I don't think. So,
no,
it was a nice surprise.
Yeah, no, the solars, those integrated solars, I mean, they're the largest integrated panel that, you know, out there. So, I mean, you're talking about really powering your camera. And when I say powering your camera, if that thing is getting some amount of direct sunlight during the daytime, that camera's just running. You don't ever have to go mess and change batteries or recharge it. That thing is just going to work. They're incredible.
Dude, yeah, I really need to get one. All right, the Edge 4, the new camera that's coming out. What is different from it? Comparing it to like the Edge 3 Pro or the Edge 3 that was out last year?
Yeah. So we'll just kind of go like a little bit of the hardware to start with. So one of the biggest upgrades just on the hardware side. So you'll see a little bit newer interface. It has a push button latching system. Kind of cool. It's got dial knobs in there now. So, you know, you really got some, you know when that thing's on and off, as opposed to a button. Those are some small tweaks. And there's, you know, aesthetically, there's some different edges, you know, to it. So it's a little upgraded there. But the Edge 4 models. So that's the Edge 4, Edge Solar, Edge Pro, you know, Edge 4 Pro, Pro Solar, and then, you know, yeah, so all those, they're all waterproof now. You know, the cameras, we didn't have a lot of issue with water anyways, but we went ahead and made them waterproof, so they are sealed. So that way, if you've got a camera that's sitting on that creek bank and heavy rains come and it gets submerged, that camera is now built to withstand that. So, it's a IP67 rating for guys that, you know, really get into those technicalities. But essentially it can be submerged, you know, up to like 3 foot for, you know, a limited amount of time is kind of what that rating says. So we built that waterproof into it. The other thing that is really noticeable, and I mentioned this earlier, the battery life. The battery life in these cameras is phenomenal. And that was something that was a big deal. We're always, how can we keep that camera running longer for our customer without them having to mess with it? Battery life was a big deal. So whether you're running AA, replaceable AA batteries, or you're running, one of our rechargeable packs, you're going to see tremendous battery life out of this camera. And we're talking with, with the settings most people run, you can even run it on immediate mode. Now, if you're getting, 200 images a day because you have high activity area, you probably got to pare that back, or not run it on immediate. So I don't want to say this camera, do this, do that, but there are some limitations. If you run it on immediate, you're getting 200 images a day.
Yeah,
probably got to put that to like maybe send me images every twice, every couple times a day or something like that. So battery life's a big one. We've got a new feature that's built in called Buckshot. So the way Buckshot, you'll actually see that on the app side. So with the Edge 4 series cameras, if a buck is in frame, it'll take that image. All the images, even the thumbnails, come over in HD. But you can set a setting in your camera on the app that says, enable Buckshot. What Buckshot will do is when that AI notices that buck, it'll send that image. And then you have the ability when it's enabled that when you click on it or the image you receive, it's already a zoomed in headshot of that buck. So you don't have to go in there and pull your screen up like we all do. Like, whoa, what's that?
Oh, yeah. I did that this morning.
We all do it. And we really don't think any. It's like, okay, no big deal. I just got to zoom. That's just another feature we're building in. It's going to deliver those buck images to you, and you won't have to do that scroll in. It'll be a zoomed in, cropped in headshot of that animal. So you can see all the details you want to see without having to do that. So that's another one of those creature comforts, kind of making it more user friendly. The Edge 4 also has better night clarity. So we've rearranged the IR light configuration. So, our models in the past would kind of, have a heavy glow in the center and maybe the edges weren't as bright. Yeah. Now that's expanded across the entire viewing range of that camera, and I've been testing one of the Edge 4s so far this summer, and I've got it right next to one of my Edge 2 Pros, and the detail in night images, I was blown away. One, everything is evenly lit. And, you know, those small limbs that were in front that would get whited out, those don't interfere with what's behind it as much now. So it kind of lightens the load there, but everything back here is visually lit up. So you're able to see those deer and those bucks that are further back in those images. That's been a huge improvement. And the clarity is crazy. Like I said, I've got it right next to a 2 Pro, and there's a tree that's kind of got some moss growing on it. In the 2 Pro, you can hardly even tell there's moss on that tree. With the Edge 4, it looks like a different tree because you're getting the actual details of the color outlines. And this is all at a night image. Yeah. So I've been blown away with that. It's beautiful, just the clarity. So we got that. And then in the Edge 4 Pro, it'll only be in the Pro. We now have true 4K video built into that camera. So you're that Pro model is going to have that amazing 4K clarity to it. So those are kind of some of the new things out on that camera that you'll be seeing.
Dude, that's so awesome. So I have to backtrack a little bit.
Yeah.
You talked about waterproof. One thing I've noticed on one of my cameras, I don't remember which one. It wasn't the 6000, but sometimes on like a foggy morning or when it's raining, I'll notice that the picture gets a little bit kind of smudged almost. Is that like not an issue anymore, or is that still going to be something that we might deal with just because it's on the camera lens itself?
Yeah, so that is a camera lens environmental factor. So that it won't take care of that. But what I tell guys on that, and I'm guilty of not doing it either, is if you just put a little of that like anti-fog, just kind of rub that on your lens.
Yeah,
that's just a little like pro tip that keeps that lens clean, just like it does when you're wearing glasses or anything that anti-fog is developed for. It works really well in that environment. And I'm like you, I've got certain cameras that are in bottoms where that's especially an issue.
Yeah.
So I definitely treat those cameras. So I don't end up with that, because that is frustrating, especially early in the morning. When that sun's rising, it's really hard to see what's in there.
Yeah, that I might have to go get some defogger stuff. The other thing I was thinking of when you said waterproof, my first thought was you're going to have bass fishermen sticking these things in lakes so they can see the fish. But then you said 3 feet. I was like, yeah, and not a prolonged period of time. Okay, I get it.
Yeah.
Dude, that's sick, though. I mean, I 4K video. Because I got a buddy that we share cameras, and he's been sending some stuff from his place, and I've been sending stuff from mine, and the video quality already was really good. Yes. I don't know if he's running an Edge 2 Pro or 3, but dude, it's been really good. So the fact that you're getting an even better video quality now, I mean, I'm going to have to get one of these cameras. And like, I don't even have spots. I did try to get permission at a place today. I doubt it's going to work out, but if it does, definitely putting an Edge 4 out there. Dude, that's so awesome. So the drop obviously happens in podcast world today, right? What do these cameras go for?
Yeah, so you'll find and these cameras, so a little clarity, the Edge 4, that'll be found nationwide. You can find it nationwide at the retailers, major retailers, at Moultrie.com. The Edge 4 Pro, the 4 Pro. So when I said Edge 4, I meant Edge 4 and Edge 4 Solar nationwide. Okay. Edge 4 Pro, Edge 4 Pro Solar will be available at Moultrie.com. It is a more premium camera, comes with a higher price tag. So we're gonna keep that on the Moultrie's website, but you'll find the standard Edge 4 at a $129.99. It will also be offered in a 2-pack at $229.99. So you take it from $130 to camera, and then the next one's like $100. So it's you get cost savings on that 2-pack. The 4 Solar will be $169.99. And again, those are all found nationwide. And then the 4 Pro, it'll start at $199.99, and then your Pro Solar will be $249.99. So, okay. And that's the one with the 4K capability and things like that.
Gotcha. Dude, I must have missed it when you said it earlier. So it's not just going to be the Edge 4 and Edge 4 Pro. It's literally Edge 4, Edge 4 Solar, Edge 4 Pro, Edge 4 Solar Pro.
Yes. And so what's cool. So, yeah. So those come with the integrated solar panel, just like you were talking about with that Edge 4 has that same solar panel style on it. The other cool thing is if a guy buys one of the, you know, Edge 4s or Edge 4 Pros and then later says, you know, I'd really like to run this on solar. We made these cameras. So in the past, we sold the external solar panels.
Yeah.
Those would strap to the tree. You would run a wire, all that. We built these 4s to eliminate the kind of that extra solar panel and wires. So we'll sell the integrated solar kit. And it literally, on the top of the camera, there's a little slide that comes off and it just slides right on. So there's no wires dangling, anything like that. And you have the full articulation so you can get that dialed to the sun. So it's a cleaner look, less hassle in the field, you know, with the wire, you know, those pesky raccoons and stuff always want to grab wires and stuff. Yeah. So we tried to, again, try to make it easier on the end user, getting rid of those wires and things and just making that more of a seamless approach.
Yeah. So I got to ask you, and this is just for me, but the battery life thing, obviously that's a thing, you know, a lot of us hunters, most hunters really care about, but did Seek One potentially have an impact on that? Because the reason I ask is because we both know, everybody knows Lee likes to travel the country and he's got a ton of cameras out. I've always wanted to ask him, how do you do that? If you have, you know, are you running all solar? Are you running all rechargeable? What do you do when the batteries die? Because I mean, I know if I was doing it, like I'm probably going to be getting a couple cameras up in Wisconsin next year. Mm-hmm. I'm running solar because I'm not flying or driving back and forth to change batteries every month, you know? So, I mean, was that like part of a conversation that was had? Like, hey, what can we do to get the battery life better? Or is it just something y'all were like, look, we need to get these batteries better?
Well, I'll say this. We work closely with Lee and the Seek One boys. They come to the office. We do value their input. But the truth be told, we've got, you know, a huge customer base that we hear from on a regular basis. So, you know, we've got and all of that is logged and we have files and data. What is the customer wanting? What are they asking for? What is the major complaint? All of that gets rolled in to, you know, data that then goes to our engineer team, to our development team. So, while I would love to give Lee the credit here, the truth is the Moultrie customer base lets us know what they want. And then it's our job to then go and make that happen for them.
Got it. So you guys act like how the government should. You actually listen to the people.
We're a more efficient government.
I like it. I like it. Hey, FBI, if you're listening, take notes. Anyway, I'm kidding. But dude, that's so cool, man. Yeah, I remember us talking last year and you were like, dude, wait till you see what comes out, right? And then I saw the sort of little teaser because Seek One, they posted some stuff about, you know, preseason scouting or whatever, and they posted one of the cameras. And I was like, that's not an Edge 3. So I was like, what is that? Yeah, because you were talking about that different edges on the camera. I'm like, that looks different. So I almost texted you and was like, Mark, give me the rundown. But I knew you were coming on, so I was like, I'll just save it.
That's right.
So, all right, into the app. You guys have this thing. I can't remember the name of it. I'm going to pull it up real quick. That I love it. It's the, okay. Of course, it's taking forever because technology sucks. Here we go. The game plan and deer survey stuff. Plus, you have the weather and activity. So, like, is there any update coming from that? I mean, already it's like night and day for me that I can look at that stuff and be like, all right, so this camera's here. It says, based off the photos, this is the most activity that we're seeing. I mean, is there anything else that's going to be added with this new Edge 4 series that we can expect to see on that?
So the biggest thing that will be Edge 4 exclusive on the app is that buckshot feature. So you just get that zoomed in buck headshot. We're not going to send you in zoomed in headshots of does and stuff like that. But so that'll be exclusive to that. But as you start getting into those other features like the activity, the weather, game plan, deer survey, you know, those all kind of fall under our hunt planning subscription, which is a, you know, it's that's not a per camera basis or anything like that. But that are the tool. That's the tools inside of the app. So, you know, like I said, Moultrie, we help you locate, you know, that's what the camera locate that buck. And then we help you pattern. And all that patterning takes place in those programs in the app. So, you know, when you're when like you said, when you go to the map view and you're seeing, OK, which cameras did that buck show up on? You know, how many times? Then you can start dialing in. You know, we kind of build that pattern out for you. All right, when is that deer moving? So we want to show you those times. And then game plan is the forward-looking piece. We get into season. It's go time. We're ready to act on that intel. That's where game plan is going to actually look at just your zone where your cameras are, and it's going to give you that predictive readout of movement. So it's using recent deer activity based off of your cameras. So unlike predictive charts that are just printed up years in advance based off of, you know, whatever, this is actually looking at real-time data. It's looking at historical data. If you've been running cameras for a while in that area, other people that have cameras in that area, it pulls that data. Now, it's anonymous data, so it's not like you're seeing someone else's cameras or intel, but it's looking, it's pulling in all the deer movement figures, and it's looking at buck movement. So that game plan, it's using the other things, weather, temperature drops, rain, wind, all these things that help influence deer movement. That's what that system uses. So you know, not only are we showing you locating that deer, but we're helping you pattern it. Okay, here's the stands he's coming to. You know, these are the areas. And by the way, here's when this deer is going to be moving. So you can really plan that hunt. And there is some, I've already seen a few new features they're going to be adding in. There's some really cool stuff that will be coming out. You know, not ready to drop that yet, but be looking for it. And then that.
Oh, did we lose him? Uh-oh. Hold on. Okay, we're back. I said it like three times already. Technology sucks. We lost Mark there for a minute, or you lost me, one of the two. But either way, so you were talking about what the predictive movement thing does, which, dude, so you answered one of my questions that I had. I was going to ask you, you know, if I go this coming season and I look at, you know, when is this specific deer supposed to move, and or just even deer movement on the property, will I be able to see that based off of what the camera's seen? And you basically said it would, which is going to help me out a lot. Because this year, after last year, I got humbled so bad.
So being
stubborn, you know.
The other cool thing is that this year, the system will actually build out individual buck lists for you. So this is my app. So this is a buck. So the multi-rack. Yeah, we gave it.
I love it.
So like you go in and give it your own name, like you were talking about Moose, but we built out a whole list of fake names that we give them. And then you can go in and obviously change it to what you're saying. But what's cool is the AI builds this out. So it's recognizing individual bucks and building a folder, dropping those images directly in there. So you have a list of your bucks that you're after, or maybe they're ones you're wanting to grow, but you're still wanting to monitor that activity. How's that deer moving and things like that? So that's all, that's going to be in buck list. And that's a great feature there. That again is really going to work towards that patterning these individual deer so you can get out there and harvest them.
Dude, that's so cool. I'm actually doing that right now for moose. I forgot you could do that. So now he has his, so let me ask you this. So if I were to go to like buck list, right, would it now take all the pictures of moose and put it in that album?
Yes.
Or is it just that one?
No. So yeah, it's gonna start identifying those. Now if there is one where you see like it doesn't get in there, you can manually put it in that list.
Yeah.
Just so you don't miss something. But yeah, it's gonna start building those lists out for you in that system. So that's again another automated process that you don't have to mess with.
So like I'll use moose as an example because he's the newest deer. And honestly, this deer could probably never show up again, right? But right. Let's just say he does. Can I go into that album and then click like game plan for him? And it'll tell me like, hey, these are the days that he's shown up. This is what the pressure was. This is what the wind direction was. Or is that not, am I not understanding that right?
No, let's look at, it's been a minute since I've messed with this.
That's why we do these. We're keeping you on your toes.
I know. I've just been doing habitat work. I've been on the tractor. So.
Dude, now's the time to do it, man.
Oh, yeah.
Especially with all this rain we've been getting, which, I don't know. Georgia's been weird, man. It's been saying, you know, we were 100 degrees last week. I think we're at like mid-90s now. And they always say, chance of rain, and it never rains.
Oh, or, yeah.
They say there is no rain, and then a thunderstorm rolls through, and it's like, okay. Kills me, man. That is so cool, though. I did not know that you could do that. I need to go through and just add all the pictures of moose to this thing since it's pretty much new. Oh, wait, hold on. Add to, that says doe. That is not a doe. Where are you? You'd think I would do this more, but no. Because the thing is, like, I just save the pictures and then go back through it, you know?
Yeah. So if you have a buck named like moose, you can go into activity charting. So if you go down below and then it's activity on mine, it's at the far left. Did you make it there? Looks like this.
Hold on. Yes, I see it.
Then if you look up here, there's a little like filter icon.
Uh-huh.
Click that. And then let's see. I clicked target.
Mm-hmm.
And then I clicked.
Oh, dude.
And then I clicked box.
That is so sick.
So now it's going to show you that individual buck, and you can apply it.
Yeah.
And then your activity readout is going to be showing you just what that buck's activity has been on cameras.
Oh, dude, I'm about to be nerding out on this. I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah.
So cool.
It's really cool. And as this goes, our team, again, is just, they're building this stuff out to where, you know, it puts the puzzle pieces together for you so you can act. So, you know, today, a little bit manual on some things, very near future, you know, a lot of things are going to be automated. And there's some other super cool, insightful, like deer charting, mapping things that are coming out that blew my mind. I mean,
I can't wait. I hate that you have to be secretive about it.
Well, I hate that I do too, because I'm the kind of guy that loves to like, let me tell you about this.
Yeah, it's like, dude, guess what we're working on.
But I don't want to drop anything yet. However, it was, you know, we tested it out on like my hunting property, and oh my gosh, it revealed like so many things that I was like, holy crap. I had a thought about like maybe that area, but I didn't. And like now I'm like, oh crap, I got to go put cameras in some areas that I've never had. Cause we've got a lot of terrain where I hunt. It's very up and down. It's not flat. So, you know, figuring out those deer in that country is a little more difficult, you know.
Yeah.
Like, how are they working through these deep valleys, these ravines? What saddles are they using? How are they traversing this hillside? Putting those together takes a little more time. But I was like, I saw some stuff and I was like, oh, crap, I got to go get some cameras out.
Yep. Dude, I had that same thought, like, because I've got one camera up in the field and then another one on the ridge top, which I know later in the season, the ridge is kind of where the bucks like to sort of travel through. Just better cover, the does run through there. But I mean, dude, I found 3 car hood size scrapes back there in December. So they were there. And, but with moose and a few of these other bucks too, they typically come from a different direction. And so I saw him come out and I was like, you know what? I have an extra camera. I'm going to go put it in this one spot. I know it's a trail. It's the same trail I killed that spike on. And you can tell that it's beat down because the way they would do it in this field is like they'd come up the trail, hang a left, hit a scrape, go across the field, hit another scrape, come feed, hit another scrape, and then leave.
Oh,
I mean, there was 5 different scrapes in this one field.
Wow.
And I could show you video. I'll probably send you some videos later and be like, this is what I was talking about. Cause it just showed me so much. Now the problem was most of the scrape activity was at nighttime. There's nothing you can do about that.
That's right.
I mean, especially on 7 acres, I just have to figure something else out.
Yeah, you know? But even on 2000, the majority of scrapes are made at night anyway.
Exactly. Like so it was kind of, yeah, it was a learning experience for sure. That's like, all right, these cameras are showing me what I need, but I still need to find this deer. You know, just because I got a video of him doesn't mean he's dead. So
that's right.
What else? So is there anything else that's coming from Moultrie this summer? I know you guys have like feeders and stuff like that. Is there anything we can expect to see out of that too?
Yeah. So the big thing with the feeders that we've got out now is that you'll see, you know, because we do make feeders and the cell cameras, you know, we're always looking like, how can we integrate the whole system? And again, you know, not just to like, for some marketing jargon, but how can we integrate it where it's useful to the landowner, the person that leases land where they run feeders? How can we give them control over that? So now all of our new feeder models, new feeder kits, it's the Pro Hunter 3 and there's another one that's run with AA batteries, the Standard. It's our Standard Feeder Kit 2, I believe is the name. But anyways, those now all have Bluetooth integration in them. So if you run an Edge 3 or newer camera, so the 4 will work as well. If you're running that camera within 100 yards of that feeder, the camera and your feeder are actually going to start be communicating now.
Oh, wow.
And so what the feeder is going to do is it's going to relay info over to that camera. That camera is going to relay that info to the Moultrie server via cell signal. So now your feeder will also be on the app. So when you go to that device section and you're looking at cameras, there will also be a feeder tab there as well. So you can click that and you now can see your estimated feed levels. So you know when you need to fill those feeders. You can see your battery life on that feeder. So you know when you need to go maintain it. Because feeders, I mean, up until this, you know, you had to open the lid and look in there and you had to unscrew the thing and hit the button, see it. Okay, battery's working, we're good. Now you can visually, before you even get to the property, you can plan ahead like, oh man, my feed level's low. I know I need 3 bags of corn. Well, now you don't have to run to the feed store, you know, midday, you know, on a Saturday because they close at noon. So, you know, we're trying to give the user the ability to manage everything. So not only that, not only can you see all that, you can do all your settings on your feeder via the app now too. You can do them from home. And even if you don't have an Edge 3 or an Edge 4 camera, when you get within Bluetooth 100 yards of that feeder at the property, you can do all that from the app at that point as well. And then the other cool thing is you can feed on demand. So if you're using your Edge 3, Edge 4, and you're sitting at home, you want to set the feeder off, you can set it off. And there's no additional subscription for that. Because again, that feeder and that camera are talking via Bluetooth. So as long as they're together, there's no additional subscription for that feeder. But the cool thing is if you're hunting, say you're bow hunting or you're within 100 yards of that feeder, you can set that feeder off anytime you want with the feed on demand from your Moultrie app.
Wow, dude, it's like you're reading my mind. I was going to ask you if there was a way to do that. Because I know in like Texas and stuff, they've got, you know, maybe timed feeders. And I've seen a few videos and stuff. I think even Lee and them probably have a video on it where the feeder goes off and next thing you know, it's just deer or pigs or whatever it is. Like they get accustomed to it. I don't know if my skittish deer in Georgia would like that, maybe, but
they will eventually, because I'm just over in Alabama, you know, East Alabama. We're not far from Georgia and they're skittish. But I'll tell you, like having those feeders out there, like, you know, ours stay out year round. So those fawns are growing up around them. So like they are on a timed schedule. And if they heard that go off, that would definitely
know. It's so crazy, dude. I got a buddy that keeps telling me to get a feeder and it's like, I want to, but that one there's only one property I could even put it out on. And every single time, I was just telling him this, that every single time I've had something in that field that is not natural, you can tell it wigs the deer out. Like I had a ground blind there for years and I would only have mature bucks show up once every season during daylight. And of course it's when I'm at work.
Yeah,
the rest of the time that's at they're there at nighttime, and then I take it out, and they still daylight when I'm at work, but they're doing it more consistently, right? Yeah. And it's like, okay, so they clearly didn't like that. So I'm just thinking, like, you see a big egg on stilts that makes a weird, you know, noise when it goes out. I wonder what they would think about that. I wouldn't
like go and set it up the day before season.
Oh no, yeah, definitely not.
From my experience running over a dozen feeders on a property, the deer absolutely get used to those. Like our deer, they move around them. Like, I mean, big bucks feed under them, you know, all that. So it's, I hear you and I do know what you're talking about, but they absolutely will get used to that.
Gotcha. So it would just take some time. So next season. I'll do it.
Yeah, even, now's a great time to get it out early, mid-July. You're giving those animals a lot of time to get accustomed to it. And it doesn't take long. Once they realize like, oh, there's food under this thing.
Yeah.
You know, then they're really like, okay, it really doesn't bother me as much.
Yeah. So what with the feeders, what are there any types of feed you can't put in it as far as...
So we've got multiples. A lot of ours are the spin cast models where you program the time. Those are the best if you're not getting out to the property as much. But we do have larger gravity type feeders as well. Obviously those you can feed protein pellets, you can feed mixed feeds, you can feed whatever you want. The spin cast models, it is best to just run clean corn in those. Because if you do get some kind of jam, you're more likely to get a jam, if you're running something other than clean corn, if you get it in bulk from a mill or something like that, you just want to make sure it doesn't have a bunch of cobs in it and things like that. Cause that can actually be frustrating, when your feeder's jamming, because it has something in there. So we do recommend to just run the clean corn in those spin cast models.
Gotcha. So because I know Tractor Supply by Me sells a corn and soybean mix, would that be able to get away? Could you get away with that, you think?
You could always try it and just see. But again, the corn's gonna, you know, 10 out of 10 times, it's going to run fine. You know, cause all it takes is a little bit of trash to get in there and mess that up. And the other thing you want to watch out for, a big don't do, is if there's any kind of mineral mixed in with that corn. Like, you know, there's a lot of feeds that have, like, you know, the different mineral blends mixed in. Don't run those in your spin cast, because it will absolutely corrode the metal spinning part. And I know that from personal
speaking from experience. Yeah, this is,
I know that it will corrode it.
That's funny. Yeah, that kind of makes sense. I mean, you know, it, because even if it didn't corrode it, I could see the mineral kind of gunking up a little bit.
It's like using a crappy fishing reel in the ocean and not washing it off.
I also have done that. So
yeah,
that makes sense. Man, that's so sick. See, what I love the most about what you guys do is you actually care and think about, like, the user, right? You're not just making some flashy product that's like, hey, this takes 4K video, but the next one will take 8K. Spend $300. Like, you're not doing that, you know? And that's why I like, you know, being able to work with you guys, because all I got to do is text you, be like, hey, Mark, question. And you're like, hey, bro, answer. You know, there is no, like, back and forth or waiting weeks and weeks to hear anything. I mean, it's, I don't know, man. Y'all do a great job. And I know the customer service side of things is on top of it. I've had buddies of mine that have had to call them, and they've always said, you know, I'll give them this. They definitely work very well on the customer service side. And then they use the cameras and they're like, oh, this is what I've been missing out on? I'm like, dude, I've been trying to tell you. You don't listen. So it's good, man. I love it. Cool. So is there anything else new product wise we need to cover?
Gosh, I'm probably missing something. I got a little bit of brain overload, you know, we're leading the launch and it's like, oh my gosh, did I cover everything? Cause these teams over here are on the gas, man. The software team with the app, the hardware team, I mean, they're just killing it. And, you know, it's our job to keep up as the marketing team and be able to, you know, speak to it. So I feel like I'm missing something, but man, I feel like I really hit on the high points there.
I mean, if you remember something later, just shoot me a text. I'll make a quick little video and I'll add it into the video portion of this. So I got you. Don't worry. Cool. Well, before we wrap up with this, because we still got a little bit of time, I want to hear about your deer season last year and what you're expecting this year. Because last year for us sucked. We had the biggest acorn crop I've ever seen. We had hot temperatures. One of the neighbors was building a freaking tower blind during season. And I'm like, do you not understand what you're doing here? I mean, literally, I had 8 deer. I told you about it last year. I had 8 deer on camera that I was ready and willing to kill. Only one of them stuck around, and he was, of course, the oldest, or one of the oldest, and super smart, and completely just ran me around the entire season. So I killed a spike. That's the best thing I can say. It was great deer, very happy to get it, but I was struggling. So I hope your season was better than that.
I'll tell you, I did. I had an incredible season last year. So the place that I hunt, you know, that it's my hunt camp, I go to, me and some other guys, we work it together. We've been managing it for about 13 years, and man, we've really got it. We acquired some new ground. We got in some new food plots last year, some big ones we had pushed in, and so, man, those all did great. So, but to your point, the start of the season, man, I probably worked harder to plant food plots last year than any year with all the dry weather, the drought. I mean, it was just, it was like, oh, here comes some rain. I got to go do something. And, you know, so that was a pain in the butt, but it all ended up working out good. So we saw lots of deer. I went to Texas. So I hunted in Texas, kind of that mid-November during the rut. That was phenomenal. That buck that's up on the top, the very top, that's the Texas buck from last year.
I was going to say that buck looks new.
Yeah. So he was, in fact, I'll text you some photos.
Yeah.
you know, and you can include him in here if you want.
He looks like a mule deer almost.
Yeah, he's super chocolate horn, a la super chocolate, you know, like those Texas deer.
Yeah.
But man, he's beautiful.
Look at him.
I mean, see that dark? I mean, he's so dark, but he's got these cool kickers in the back, like off the brow tine.
Man, that's awesome.
Yeah.
It's like a weird looking turkey foot on the left side.
It's weird. It is. It's got three. It's hard to get a good angle on it, but
yeah, you can see it. That is a beautiful deer. But I was looking at him earlier. I'm like, I don't recognize that buck from the last time.
So. No, he's, but like your point, like kind of like a mule deer with those twos.
You know what he reminds me of?
What's that?
Lee's upside down buck.
Oh, nice.
He looks very similar to him.
Yeah.
That's so sick, man.
So yeah, that was one. And then, probably, but the one that was my favorite was, on our place that we hunt, we had a buck that showed up the year before, and he had and I can send you video of him if you want to include that, but he had a front leg that was severely like kind of deformed, and he really really put his weight on it. I mean, every step he took, it was a very, you know, deliberate like limp. So we ended up naming him Gimpy, just because he had a gimped leg. You know,
I love that name, dude.
I know, it's like we're pretty literal. And so anyways, he was almost like a 4-point, but they went up really tall and split. Mm-hmm. And it was just this unique buck. He looked on the thin side because of his injury. But we were like, that's a cool deer. Let's just make sure no one shoots him. Cause maybe his rack is just goofy from the injury. Right. Yeah. And so anyways, fast forward to, I don't know, maybe last September, we ended up getting our first picture video of Gimpy, and my God, like dude grew more antler than any deer on the place. And he still had that same deformed walk.
Yeah.
And on his left side, he had some really cool wavy tines that worked in, just, I guess, from that injury. And so with that deer, we were seeing him on camera, but, you know, like a lot of bucks, they may get into a pattern and they're like, they're here, they're here, they're here. Man, we had no idea where Gimpy would be. And I think because of that injury, he just had to adapt to where he was. I don't think he was a fighter, because I don't think he really could. I think he was just, you know, one of those deer. He had the street smarts. He got in where he fit in. And so he would move around like you'd catch, but he kind of had an area, right? He still had an area, but pegging him down was tough. So anyways, it was right after Christmas, like December 30th, December 31st. And that in that area, that like things are really heating up for us rut wise at that time. And so my buddy hunted a spot, and before daylight, he got in there early. Before daylight, Gimpy was on camera in front of him, but it was too dark. Like he didn't even know he was out there.
Yeah.
And so we were all kind of ribbing him like, oh dang, how'd you let him get by? He's like, man, I couldn't see nothing. Yeah. We're giving him a hard time.
Yeah.
And so anyways, that afternoon, we kind of go. And so another guy went to that spot where Gimpy was on camera. And I said, you know what? And I really wasn't, I didn't know if I'd see him, but there were other good bucks in the area. I'm going to go over to this other food plot. This 200 acres was clear cut. So it's beautiful cover, but you can see a long ways and it's real hilly. So I could see the shooting house where Gimpy was that morning from where I was. So him and I slip in there about, I don't know, 2:50 in the afternoon. It's a nice cold. The wind was blowing that morning. It was cold. And I'm sitting there and I don't think I'm there like 12 minutes. And I'm like looking and I look back and there's a deer standing at the edge of my food plot, like 80 yards. And it's looking right at me. And the way the windows are, we got to kind of like, the windows are clear and it's got a window. So I think he saw me move in there, and I was like, oh crap. So I just froze. And anyways, he stepped out and he had that limp. And I was like, wait a minute. I got the binos up and I was like, that's Gimpy. And like, no one had ever seen this deer in person. This is the first time anyone's laid eyes on him in person. And he was definitely a shooter for our group, mature deer. And so it was rifle season. I wasn't bow hunting. So, you know, I get my gun and like, I got to open the window because I'm trying to keep my scent in and everything. And he starts working away from me and he kind of starts picking up speed, you know, but he's kind of got that little
still gimping along.
Yeah, he's got that little hitch, right? And so he stopped and turned back. I'm getting the gun and I finally get on him. And I got to kind of gain my composure. You know, he's about 160 yards at this point. And man, I get my breath. He's going away and I give him the old, you know, classic, meh, you know, as loud as I can. And he turns quartered. And I, as soon as that crosshair came over that shoulder, I just squeezed and he dropped. And, and so I had Gimpy down, man. And I was on cloud nine, like, getting that buck. So that was a cool story. Just having history with that deer, as elusive as he was, and just to actually see him in person, that was the highlight of my season. And then to top it off, and you know, we go into February, a good buddy of mine, John Casimus, he lives down in Hertzboro, Alabama, and he has got just, the pinnacle of deer hunting properties, the management and genetics and everything. And so he had, you know, he had a number of deer bucks, mature bucks that he wanted to kind of, you know, call out that, you know, they're eating up the groceries and it's not really what he's trying to grow. So I went and hunted with him, like an afternoon and a morning, and I killed just an absolute stud, beautiful, jeez, man. Like big old 8-point, man. So look, I can take credit for Gimpy. You know, we showed up at the right time. But you know, in Texas and with John, I was hunting places that were managed, unbelievably, which as a land manager and deer manager myself, I truly appreciate those opportunities to see, you know, how high the bar is getting set at some of these places. And it's just amazing.
Dude, that's what I needed to hear. 'Cause last season it got to the point, man. It was like early December and I was already burnt out. I mean, well, 'cause you know, I mean, starting the year off the way that we did, you know, I
off here, man, we were exactly what you said. It was hot. Like bow season was terrible here. It was hot and there was acorns everywhere. It was terrible. And that's talking to the deer processors and everything.
Yeah.
Even the opening weekend of rifle season, I took my daughter. I mean, my God, it was like 80 something. I mean, that was the Saturday before Thanksgiving. I mean, we should have been, you know, at the lake, you know, in our bathing suits. It was hot.
See, and that's what was so weird. Like, I went to my processor and we were talking about it because I, you know, I obviously using the cameras, I kind of see what these deer are doing. They're there at nighttime, hitting scrapes, moving through whatever, but feed out, which normally works, they weren't really hitting it. There was does that would come in, young bucks, whatever, but I was talking to him. I was like, man, what is going on? I was like, I've seen some rough seasons in the past 7 years, but this one is like, did I do something? Is it me? I mean, what's happening? And he was like, nah, dude, it everywhere is like this. 'Cause he normally second week of November, they're full. Like they stopped taking deer. I don't think he closed down once because that's it was exactly just so odd. Little. Yeah. And he was like, you know, with this acorn crop, they're all in the oak bottoms and those deer are smart. So they're going to set up where if you try to walk in, they're going to smell you. They're going to see you. They're going to hear you. They don't have to move. Even the rut. I mean, the rut to me almost looked like it wasn't really happening, which I can't really say that because I called that spike in, but he's also a spike, right? So, but he was a 2-year-old spike. He wasn't a brand new, you know, he wasn't a baby. He was just a child. I'll just say that. But yeah, man, it was one of those weird seasons. And I mean, I even had a buck that held his antlers until late March.
Oh,
and that's not normal here. So I'm like, And I've seen him now, and he's behind every other buck. He was the last buck to shed. He's still way behind everybody. So maybe he'll keep velvet. I don't know. But
yeah,
it was wild, man. It was a very weird season. So like I said, I'm glad that you had a good one. Because I'll tell you,
another thing I did, you were talking about the rut. One thing that is the one who really manages our property, I always try to get the guys to shoot our does early. Yeah. You know, we take about 10 off our place every year. I'm like, guys, please just let's knock them out early. Cause you know, our rut's not till, you know, mid December through mid January we're at is really good.
Yeah.
So I said, let's just knock them out. And then we're just buck hunting when it gets good. And so, you know, that never happens. So my daughter and I and the members I could get that are, I'm like, please shoot those. Like, we'll,
yeah.
You know, we started, myself and some other guys, we started a local, National Deer Association branch last year, here in the Birmingham, Central Alabama area.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, I helped set up a venison donation program with a processor. And so I was like, hey, if you don't need the meat, I got places to donate it. You know, we just need these deer. So myself, my daughter, and so, you know, we worked over on the does. So when we did get to the rut this year, we had removed a number of those does, which in turn caused those bucks to cruise more, seeking out does. We didn't just have them everywhere. And I saw a better rut this year. In fact, I rattled in my first mature Alabama buck of my life this year.
Oh, wow.
But it was after I had taken Gimpy. And man, trust me, I was on that dude. And I was like, no. And it coolest story, and I didn't know it would work this way or whatever. I let that deer walk. And he came in. He was a bully. He was on camera. He was like, I mean, it was amazing the ground he was covering during the daylight. He was our most daylight buck. He was a big seven. And I told my buddy where to sit. I said, sit on this tall ridge. We got this ladder stand. He's working like he's got a cross in front of you. Like, yeah. I don't know where else he's crossing. It's got to be in there. And so he did. And I rattled this buck out of a bottom. And I've got to be, I'm a solid half mile from where my buddy is. Like, so we're not close.
Yeah.
And when I say a half mile, there's at least two major drainages between us where this deer could have gone anywhere.
Yeah.
So that deer comes up and he comes out like a bully, head up, like, he's ready to go. Like, this dude was like, who is even screwing around here? And he came in there just puffed up. And he ran out into the opening. He looked, and then he just kept going on this path to get him downwind of me. And he did. And when he did, he entered the woods. And the way he headed was going right towards my buddy. And I sent him a text. And I said, hey, I just rattled in the big seven you're after. I said, I didn't shoot him. I said, he is literally making a beeline to you. And I bet it was like 25 minutes later, I hear a gunshot and I get a text from him and my buddy got him.
And dude, that's so sick. I love that.
That right there was actually probably the highlight of it. Cause not only was I able to rattle that deer in, I let him go cause I had already killed a buck off the place. And then for it to like, you know, for me to say like, hey, he's coming, then he gets it. I'm just like, that was awesome.
Dude, that, man, I need a season like that. I really do. I've got some opportunity. Like, I got a good buddy that invited me over to his place a couple times this year. And, you know, we're going to hunt it together. And there's some pretty good bucks. I mean, there's one I've got my eye on. He's pretty wide. So we'll see how it works. But man, I needed to hear that. Today's been a good deer day. You know, I finally get to see moose, and then you're telling me all these good stories, dude. I'm excited. I'm really excited. Well, look, man, I appreciate you coming on. These episodes with you are always so fun, especially getting to learn about, like, you know, what Moultrie's doing and then hear the deer stories. So I guess before we wrap up with this, why don't you go ahead and give everyone a shameless plug on where they can find Moultrie and then we'll wrap it up.
Yeah, so the Edge 4, our Edge 3s, Edge 2s, those are available nationwide. I mean, Bass Pro Shops, Walmart, Academy, Amazon, you know, Cabela's, Shields, Tractor Supply. I mean, you can get them anywhere. And there's going to be some really great deals on those cameras. So if you're looking to load up on numbers of cameras, definitely be on the lookout on in through, you know, now through August. There's going to be some killer deals on those. So, you know, I'd say that. And then the Edge 4 Pro, either the Pro or the Solar, those will be on Moultrie.com, which we also carry the 2s, the 3s. You know, we carry all the solar accessories, all the rechargeable, you know, battery packs and things like that. So you don't have to buy AA batteries anymore. So all that stuff can be found at Moultrie.com or again at your local retailer around the nation.
Awesome, man. Well, I love it. I love the cameras that you guys make. The products speak for themselves. And man, I can't wait to get you on again. Oh, you know what? We're going to have to do one during season so we can actually get like a season update. So we'll find a date to make that happen. But buddy, thank you for coming on here. Seriously, thank you for everything you guys do for the podcast. And y'all remember, Christ is King. So go read your Bible and go shoot your bow.